You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
The Lord is good, isn't he? And he does give you strategies, right? I mean, you need answers to something, he'll let you know. He'll let you know what to do. You got a child you can't figure out, God knows them better than you do, and he can help you figure that out. Amen? I'm telling you, he can. If you're something's, you know, going on in your career that you can't figure out, God will let you know how to navigate it. There's all kinds of things. One of the things that over the last 2 weeks we've been talking about, praying out things, praying out the mystery. Now, where I want to start, I wasn't intending to start here, but I felt like I need to start here. And so what I want to talk to you about first is praying things out. You don't substitute that for the prayer of faith. And what I mean is this, when you find something in the word that belongs to you, Jesus said it this way, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive, when you pray, and what happens? And you what? You ever say, I got it. When did you get it? When you prayed. Not when it showed up, when you prayed. Because if you're waiting for it to show up, you'll never get it to show up because you didn't believe it when you prayed. This is the confidence that I have in him, 1 John 14:15. That if I ask anything according to his will, what is the will of God? Well, the will of God is the word of God. And so when it's listed in the word of God, you don't have to ask the Lord, is it your will? Right? 1 Peter 2:24 is the will of God. Philippians 4:19 is the will of God. In case you don't know what those are, that by the stripes of Jesus, you have been what?
Healed.
You don't have to ask the Lord, is it your will to heal me? Because it is his will because it's written down. You don't have to ask the Lord, is it your will to bless me? Because it's written down. He said he'd meet all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you that because what I want to get into tonight is I think sometimes when people hear things, if you don't have the balance, and as a pastor, you know, one of the things I always want to do is make sure you have good balance. And sometimes in wanting you to have good balance, I can try to preach six messages at one time. But the truth is, I need you to have that going in, okay? That praying out things, in other words, if it's the will of God, all you have to do is believe that you receive and it's yours, and you hold fast to that and you hold to the confession of your faith. And I heard it said this way, don't try to pray out what you can confess out. I mean, you know, so you just stick with the word. But there are things in our lives that are mysteries. Amen. And we're going to get back to talking about it. So let's pray. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. I thank you tonight. You think through my mind, speak through my lips. I believe and speak as the oracle of God. I thank you for every person in this room and everyone watching, that they have eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts that understand. Father, I thank you for a door of utterance. As I try to get out what you've taught me through your word and what you've revealed to me to help them in the time that we live in. Because you said it was no longer a luxury, it was a necessity. And so, Father, help me to teach this out so that every person in this room and every person that'll watch or hear this will get revelation of how and what to pray out. And so I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And so when we pray out things, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 2, that when we pray in other tongues or pray in the Spirit, that we can pray out mysteries. This is what I know about a mystery. A mystery is meant to be solved. And I say this jokingly, but it is the truth about me. I don't like to watch movies that are mysteries that at the end they leave it up to you to figure it out. I paid money, you figure it out. And that's how I feel about that. And so the thing with God is, what I found is, even if he's hidden something, it's not like God ever hides things from you. He hides things for you. How do I know that? Well, he's always done that. If they would have known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. It was hidden from them for us. Are you with me? And so there's some things in your life that are hidden, but they're hidden for you, not from you. And so, but there are also things just because of the human experience that we don't know everything about. But God has given us a way. And one of the things that I want to help people with, especially it's really strong on me these days, is in the modern day church, especially in the United States of America, I know people tend to be pulling away from the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And so I'm all in. And you're going to be all in. And you're, and it's not something to pull away from. Wouldn't the devil love the church in the last days to be powerless? Wouldn't he love the last days church not to be built up? Wouldn't the devil love for the last days church to not know what's going on, and all they could ever do is react instead of being proactive? And so that is one of the blessings of being filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Now, if you go to church here on a regular basis, you know that we are not shy and are not ashamed of the Holy Ghost. And so, you know, like every Sunday morning, we don't run around the room all the time. We don't swing. There's no chandeliers to swing from. And, you know, and we don't, you know, so every service is not like that. But one of the things is that we don't want to in our church life or in our personal life, because this is what happens. You back away in your church life, you'll definitely back away in your personal life. And so I really want to keep this in front of you, okay? And so it is a blessing and a benefit to you to be filled with the Holy Ghost and have the ability to pray out mysteries. And in that ability, I want to talk to you about praying out those mysteries and how to pray them out in a very practical way that will help you with things like raising your children, things that will help you. I told you the story of my I call her my Aquila and Priscilla. You remember her? Remember in the Bible, Priscilla and Aquila? They took him, you know, to the side and showed him the way more correctly. Well, I had a lady, her name was Margaret. She did that. And I told you that she was a woman of prayer, and she prayed in the Holy Ghost. And one time her and her husband were going away to Indianapolis, which is 2 hours away from where we live, and they were going on a weekend date, you know, like, you know, it was very exciting. And so they got going, got down the road, and she was praying in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost told her to go home. And not only go home, he told her what house to go to, because she left a teenager at home with the ability, trust, you know, do this, you know, this is what's going on. Well, obviously that teenager wasn't. And so the Spirit of God, of course, her husband was really mad because he had planned this weekend. But, you know, she was insistent we're going home. So she showed up on the door. She was there on the porch. Y'all know what a porch is, right? When she's on the porch, when the girl pulled up, how did she know? The Lord told her what house to go to, where they was about to have a party. The party was ruined that night. Hallelujah. The Lord messed it up. But you know what? The Lord can do stuff like that. What was he doing? He was protecting that teenager. He was protecting her, helping her. There's just been things that I've prayed out. I could sit up here for hours and recount to you the things that Pastor Ron and I have prayed out. And remember what I'm talking about. When I say pray out, sometimes it's a leading. I am a sheep. I know his voice. Romans 8:14. Because I'm a son of God, I'm led by the Spirit of God. 1 John 5:10. I have an unction. I have a perception. The Spirit bears witness. 1 John 2:20-27. I have an unction. Romans 8:16. That, you know, his Spirit bears witness with my spirit. I am his sheep. I know his voice. Do you know his voice? Yes. Listen to me. You're not trying to learn his voice. If you're born again, you know it. Everybody shout, I know it. I know. Everybody say, I know the voice of God, because I'm his sheep. I know his voice, and the voice of a stranger I will not follow. And so you couple that with being able to pray out mysteries and pray in other tongues. And those begin to work together. And as you work those together, and what I mean pray out is sometimes we looked in at 1 Corinthians 14:13. And we said that the Bible says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, pray that I would interpret. Pray that I would interpret. Now, a lot of times in our circles, people don't really study chapter 14 the way it should be studied. He goes back and forth between talking about your prayer language and personal things, and then talking about a public assembly. In a public assembly, he said, I'd rather speak 5 intelligible words than 10,000 in another tongue. But then he said at the same time, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than y'all. He was from South Jerusalem. And so he said, y'all. So how many, but is that your testimony? Do you pray in tongues? Do you speak in tongues? Yet when we come together, like if I could do it right now, I could just start speaking in tongues. But it would do you no good. The Bible says that when we come together, we need to seek to edify one another. We need to pray, you know, and then so that's publicly. And then he goes through the order of how you do things and all that. But then privately, he says this, he said, you know, and this could be for private and public, that when you pray in the Spirit, pray that you interpret. He said, how be it that I will pray in the Spirit and I will, listen to this, pray with my understanding, not just the understanding, with my understanding. And he's talking about staying in the Spirit to pray in your understanding. Because you can pray from your head or you can pray from your spirit in your understanding. I will sing in the Spirit and I will sing with my understanding also. He didn't say I will, because you can, we can sing songs, which is good, and the Spirit can be here, but there's a difference in singing in tongues and then singing with the understanding. It means it's inspired instantaneously by the Spirit of God. You don't think it up. It's not known. It's not known. So see, if we get good at that, if we understand that, then it will help you when you go to pray out things that you don't know about. Now, one of the things I'll tell you is this, because I want to talk to you about this. This is really big on my heart, and I'm really trying to get it out, because I really haven't taught a lot of this. I've been pastor for 25 years, and I don't really teach a lot of this in this setting. I live this, but I've never really taught this and taught it out. And I was just in a prayer thing, and the Spirit of God spoke to me, and this person was up, and it was good, but they started giving their experiences. And the Spirit of God cautioned me. He said, don't teach your experiences because it will get people off. Teach doctrine, and people will have experiences. Because how many of you know, I don't like the granola Christian club. You know who them are? The nuts, the fruits, and the flakes. And in our circles, you can tend to get granola-y. Is that a word? It's not. But I just made it up, and it's true. We were just there. Someone last night said to me, I really like the church because I feel safe. And so in spirit-filled things, that means people can push things to an extreme. And so what's the ditch in this area? Well, you can get to an extreme where, you can take the word too far, or the other extreme is that you don't pray in tongues at all because other people have been in excess. So we need to pray in the Holy Ghost, and we need to learn how to pray out mysteries. We need to learn how to, as we're praying in the Holy Ghost, begin to yield, okay? And so I just want to give you some more. John 16:13 says what? Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. Has the Holy Ghost come?
Yes.
Has the Spirit of truth come?
Yes.
What does he promise? He said, I'll guide you into all truth, right? What else does he promise? He'll not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, that shall he speak. And then I like this part, and he will show you things to come. We live in an hour where you need to know of necessity what is coming in your personal life, for your family, and just to be prepared. Instead of reacting, we're proactive. In other words, we know what's going on. And so we can know things about the future. How can you know? Well, because God is living in a timeless realm, even though we live in a timed realm. And he knows the future. How do I know that? Well, all throughout the Old Covenant, he prophesied forward about the future. And so I want to talk to you then about some things, and I just want to reiterate some things that you can know. You and I are supposed to know. Let me say it better like that. You and I need to know. You and I are supposed to know the future. We're not supposed to be, as Christians, as spirit-filled Christians, living in a life where all we're doing is reacting. Let's get out in front of it. Let's learn how to pray collectively as a group, and then as a family, and as an individual, and get out in front of it. And see, I believe, and where we're supposed to be, is as you pray in the Holy Ghost, as you pray in the Spirit, as you pray the Word. Because what you're doing also is you're praying in other tongues. How many of you know when you're praying in other tongues, you're praying out the perfect will of God? Well, what is the perfect will of God? Well, it's the Word of God. So when you're praying in other tongues, you're not talking about the weather. At least if you are, you're wrapping it in scripture. Are you with me? So let's look at some other things around this. So let's look at John 15:15. All right, John 15:15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, but I call you what? For the servant knows not what the Lord does, but I call you what? Everybody say, I'm a friend. Are you a friend of God? Jesus didn't, he no longer you're a servant, but a friend. Now we have many different relationships with the Lord, but listen why he's saying this. For all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. I would say for the most part, the Lord wants to make things known unto you. There are very few things, you know, Deuteronomy says the secret things belong to the Lord. There are a few things that the Lord won't tell you. Usually the secret things that belong to the Lord is when it has to do with somebody else, it's none of your business. Right? And so there are some, aren't you glad the Lord don't tell everybody your business? Yeah, me too. I'm glad for you. Hallelujah. Romans 8. We're talking about praying things out. Romans 8:26-27. You know what? Let's bounce up to 24. It's that, you'll remember, I ministered this when we were talking about hope lives. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Because what is hope? A divine, it's an expectation, you know. But hope is not seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for it? But if we hope for what we see not, then we with patience wait for it. So we're expecting something. So we're in joyful, confident expectation. And then it says, likewise, in the same breath as, in the same manner, the Spirit helps our infirmities. So he's talking about something expected that's not yet received. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So there's something. We've prayed the word. We've spoken the word, and we're in the Spirit, we're in expectation, and then it says, likewise, the Spirit of God comes to take hold together with us against things. And he helps us. Are you glad that you have a helper when you pray? See, you can get really good at this, and you know when the Holy Ghost comes to help you pray. You know when he comes to take a hold together with you against things. You know he's there and he helps you and there's utterance. And then the Bible says this, he makes intercession. Now the word intercession, if you've ever been to our Bible Institute and my prayer class, intercession is to approach the king, the technical term is to approach the king on behalf of someone who has no standing. Now, intercession, I mostly teach and believe that it's when you pray for someone who is lost and undone, they have no standing. But here, this is talking about the Holy Spirit praying for a saint, for someone who's born again, and he's taking hold by the Holy Ghost together with you against something. And he's praying out the perfect will of God. So I believe, and he talks about groanings that can't be uttered, but I said most of the time then this is talking about praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about praying things out. So you got something going on in your life. You got something going on in your family. You got something that even you've believed God for and you believed you received. But you have some questions about something. Maybe something's going on with your marriage. Something's going on with your children. Something's going on with your job. Something's going on with you personally. And you've spoken the word and you prayed. But you just say, okay, Lord, I've said what the word said. I believe that. And now I'm asking you to take hold. I'm asking you for intercession for me. I'm asking you to take hold with me. I need to, is there anything I need to pray out? And you just begin to pray. You begin to pray in the Holy Ghost and pray in the Holy Ghost and pray in the Holy Ghost. And then what happens is the Holy Ghost then will, a lot of times, he'll just take hold with you. Or if you don't sense anything, then you say, oh, okay, we'll just leave that alone then. But he'll take hold with you and you'll know when he takes hold with you. And you begin to pray it out. And he's making intercession for you. He's making intercession for you. The Bible says in verse 34, talking about Jesus, that he ever lives to make intercession. My mamma used to say, if I can't get nobody else to pray for me, Jesus is praying for me. I never understood what she meant. She said a lot of things when I was little I didn't understand. I do understand them, almost all of them now, what I can remember. And it is true. Aren't you glad that someone who's seated at the right hand of the throne is praying for you? Even if you can't get anybody else to pray for you, Jesus is praying for you. How's he pray for all those people all at once? I don't know, but he does. He's praying for you. He's interceding for you. He's interceding for you. And so he's trying to help you get to something that you're expecting, that you haven't seen yet, but you're holding on to with your faith and your hope, and he can help you pray things out. Okay, y'all with me? And so what I'm talking about is, as we pray in the Holy Ghost, he begins to then, there could be some revelation that comes. A lot of times when you pray things out, the revelation is going to be coming. It'll come by a leading. It'll come by you praying things out. And I don't have time to go back into all that. I just hope you were here. If not, go online and catch up. But I also want to show you this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. It says, it's written, eyes not seen nor heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Everybody say, that's me. How many of you know, does God love you? Is there things prepared for you? Yes. They're hidden for you, not from you. They're prepared for you. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, but you got to find out the order. He's prearranged, prepared ahead of time, good works that you should walk in them. So we got to find out what those are. It's not automatic, but you got to find them out. How do you do that? By prayer. By supplication, by making yourself available to God. So it says here, but God has revealed. Everybody say revealed. Revealed. Now revelation, we'll look at maybe some other time, but Jesus is the revealer. The Holy Ghost is the revealer of all truth. The Holy Ghost is the revealer of Jesus. He doesn't speak of himself, but he speaks about him. He's a revealer of the word. Anytime you don't understand the word, the Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 1 that the eyes of your understanding would be opened, enlightened. What is that? A flooding of light from that the word of God, that you would be able to understand it. And so when you read the word, you can get revelation that way. But also, I believe this is also talking about in your life, to know the future. Lord, help me. To know the future, he can reveal things to you. When you're praying about life, when you're praying about yourself, future, he'll help you with decisions. Don't go there. Don't work there. Don't hook up with this person. Not hook up like, you know, that hook up. But definitely don't do that, huh, if you're not married. All right, so my point is that he can tell you where to go, who's corrupt company, meaning, you know, the Bible says corrupt company corrupts good morals. He can lead you by unction, by praying. You know, you can know things. He will reveal it to you. That's what it says here. He said, but God has revealed unto them by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse 12, verse 11 says, for what man knows the things of the man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but by the Spirit of God. So he's talking about the Holy Spirit ministering or talking to your spirit. Now we have not received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know. Everybody say, I'll know. What do I know? The free things that are freely given to me from the word, but also in your life, when you begin to work with the Holy Ghost, when you begin to pray things out, you'll begin to know things. You'll know them by unction or witness or knowing, or you can pray them out. Okay, gotta keep going. I gotta get warmed up. I gotta hurry. I gotta get warmed up. Okay. Verse 13, which things we also speak. Oh, I wish I could stop to teach on this. Which things we also speak, not in the words which man teaches. What? We don't speak words that man teaches. Who taught you English? Who taught you Spanish? Who taught you French? All right. But that which the whole words that who teaches? I wonder what that is. Could be tongues. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. In other words, you can't receive and know things in your noggin. For they are what? foolish. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned, revealed, known. Spiritually discerned. So God is trying to reveal to us things. Things from the word, yes. Also things about your life. God can't reveal those things to your natural man. He only reveals things to your spiritual man. And he can't reveal those things while you're not in the spirit. And so the more carnal we live, the less you're going to know about your life. The less you walk in the spirit and in the word and are in tune with God, the more bad decisions you and I will make. Now, how many know you ever made a bad decision that will get you out of your trouble? But how many know if I began to live this way, if I began to really pray, learn how to pray things out, learn how to walk in the spirit, learn how to do, let the Lord reveal to me. And all this happens as I learn how to walk in the spirit. Now let me go back. Let me review a little bit. Let me go back. Let's go back to the book of Acts. Let's go to the book of Acts. I want to increase your faith a little bit about what's supposed, because really as a whole, people don't really talk about prayer language anymore, about praying in other tongues. They just, those who get filled, okay, now you're filled, good for you, you're filled. And do it. And yet, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so I want to go back and tell you some other things, because I do believe, according to the word, according to scripture, that the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost is speaking in other tongues. People say, well, I'm filled, I just don't speak. I don't really see that as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire. And we see on the initial day, on Acts chapter number 2, on the day of Pentecost, they're all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke with other tongues. All right, but also with that, because sometimes people just get stuck on that, other things happened. And if I can get you to see other things happen, I can get you to begin to believe that while you're praying in other tongues, scripturally, other things can start happening. And other things that have to do with your known language and not just tongues. Okay, now you got to stay with the scripture. And the danger of teaching this is that people get into excess and they try to make things happen. But if I can give you faith for what's supposed to be happening, then you'll see it. Acts chapter 2. So you know that in verse 4, they all began to speak with other tongues and the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 6 says this. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Verse 11 talks about Cretes, Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So what was happening? People say, well, it was a sign and a wonder that they were showing them. They got filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they heard them speak in their own language, and they heard them magnifying God. So listen, now when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to get a prayer language, a heavenly language. All right. That doesn't mean when people get filled, they're going to speak in Spanish, they're going to speak in French, they're going to speak in Chinese. But it is possible after you're filled with the Holy Ghost, with other tongues, because the Bible talks about diverse tongues. And so what can happen is while you're praying, and even while you're praying in a heavenly language, you have a normal prayer language, but it can also change. And so I'm telling you, though, if they heard them speak in their tongue, are y'all with me? You all handle this, right? Because see, if they heard them speak in their tongue, that means there is an ability that while you're praying in spirit, you can speak in your known tongue. And so you can have faith for that, because it happened on the initial outpouring. Okay. We got some thinking going on. Acts chapter 2, verse 17, 8. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God. Peter's up talking, remember. I'll pour out my spirit upon flesh, on all flesh. Aren't you glad God's not done pouring out his spirit? And your sons and your daughters are going to do what? Everybody say prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants, all my handmaids, I'll pour out on those days of my spirit. And they shall what? Prophesy. Now that's interesting. Okay. So they said that they're going to prophesy. So that could also then be a part of you getting filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues, a prophecy can begin. Now listen, let's stop. I'm not saying that every one of you are ever going to be used. You may never be used publicly in the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit and prophesy in a public setting. That is not promised to everybody in this room. And anybody that says, I can teach you to prophesy and everybody gets to prophesy, that's just a bunch of baloney. Okay? Because you cannot determine that you can't. In other words, you can't just say, I'm going to give it, because I speak in tongues, I'm going to give it a tongue and interpretation. You can't. It has to be by the Spirit of God. But then there is a part of prophecy that within your prayer language and you in your prayer time and praying things out, you can have faith to prophesy. And what is the simple form of prophecy? It's a declaration. It's a decree. It's a speaking forth under inspiration of the Spirit of God. And so the Bible says in the last days, after it talked about how they were filled, then he began to say what Joel said, that in the last days that people will prophesy. But it doesn't mean everybody's going to be used in prophesying one to another. And that's one of the things, when you go to our kind of church, if people start getting a hold of that and then they prophesy, then they want to go around prophesying to everybody. Well, that'll get you in a lot of trouble here. Because people, when they come here, they don't know you, and you ain't supposed to be prophesying to them. Well, I have something. Well, keep it to yourself and let's ask. Praise the Lord. Come on, I don't want you raising your hand, but if you've ever been around that before, it's excess and annoying. But if someone, now what I don't want on the other hand is that if you're friends with people and someone knows you and they say, man, I want to talk to you. You got something for me? I'm not saying you can't give it. I'm just saying don't be running around here prophesying to everybody when they walk in the room. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I'm not trying to stifle your gifts. I'm not trying to stifle what God's given you. But if unless it's a ministry you don't know, if somebody walked up to you and said, I have a word from the Lord, unless you knew it was God, you would be very cautious. You should be cautious. There are many voices in the world, none without signification. Just because someone says to you, my little lamb, or thus says the Lord, doesn't make it from Jesus. Praise Jesus. All right. Are you good? I'm just trying to help you out. We're going deep. This is Wednesday night. We're having fun. You having fun, JC? I'm having fun. This is awesome. All right. And so I really do think this is awesome. I'm glad I can. Finally, the Lord can get. I can teach this. Hallelujah. So anyway, about the second or third time I get to teach this, it'll get much better. But it's good now. All right. So I think part of then what you should be expecting is what happened. And the one thing that happened is what was promised is they prophesied. Let's look at that in Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Here in Acts chapter 10, I'm not going to look at every account where they got filled with the Holy Ghost, but in Acts chapter 10, this is where the Gentiles got filled. It says in verse 45, 44, Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them, which heard the word. They were circumcised and would believe, were astonished to me that were Peter, because when the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, they heard them do what? Speak in tongues and magnify God. Well, when they heard him magnifying God, what were they hearing? It was still in the spirit along with the praying in tongues. It was different than just, I bless you, Lord, I praise you, Lord. There was something inspired with it because it was going hand in hand. Let's look at another one. Acts 19:6. This will prove what I was just talking about just a second ago. Acts 19:6. This is, Paul going down to the church, what would become the church of Ephesus. Verse 6, when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and what did they do? They spoke with tongues and did what? So you can expect that when you pray things out, an element of prophecy doesn't mean you're a prophet. Okay? Doesn't mean you're a prophet. And it doesn't mean you should ever prophesy to anybody else. It means when you pray in tongues, you can believe for an element of inspired utterance about your situation. Now, he was a prophet. Remember in Ezekiel, You remember the Valley of Dry Bones? Y'all remember the Valley of Dry Bones? What did he tell him to do? He said to him to do what? See, he was in prayer. He had a vision. And while the Lord was working with him, he told him to do something. Why did he tell him to prophesy? Because see, it's God can show you things about your life. But then in order to get him working on the earth, you got to say something. You got to say something. And one form of doing that is by unction of the Holy Ghost. You begin to prophesy something, not to somebody or anything like, but you're prophesying to your situation. He'll mix it with, because prophecy has to have word in it. It'll be inspired utterance that comes out of you while you're praying in the Holy Ghost. You'll begin to prophesy to something. Not only that, but sometimes then you'll also begin to bind and loose. You'll find yourself as I hate to use this word, but it's almost a natural thing that begins to happen as you get in the Spirit and you begin to pray things out. You begin to prophesy. You don't have to say, thus says the Lord. It's just like you begin to, I prophesy to the wind of God. I command this. I say this in Jesus' name. And you can bind something. You can loose something. Whatever bound in heaven is bound on the earth. You know, whatever you bind on earth is already bound on the earth is bound in heaven. When you loose on the earth, you loose in heaven. You can begin to bind and loose. That's a form of prophecy working for you. You begin to do it by inspired utterance. You can just do it by faith. But sometimes as you get into prayer, you get some, that's part of Romans chapter 8. When the Holy Ghost takes a hold together with you, it comes from, it's still faith, but it comes also with the Holy Ghost. And it helps you to hang on. Because you know it's from the word, which is the highest, but you're mixing it with, I wish I could help you better. You mix it with something that's coming from the realm of the Spirit, from the Holy Ghost. It's intersect. It's all working together. Okay. Praise Jesus. And it's important. And it's no longer a luxury. It's a necessity. It's no longer just, you know, we're going to try this. We're gonna do this, all right? I don't know how much further I'm gonna get. Let's go back to Acts chapter 10. Do we need to leave? We had problems with this last night. The haters. There, it kind of went away a little bit. All right. Everybody good? I know you're all. We can do it. We're good. Okay. He's already looked at it. All right. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And then I'll let you go. Come on, y'all, get back with me. I've been waiting for a long time to get to this. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Okay. So here's what's going on. You got two men praying. One of them spirit filled. One of them about to be spirit filled. The importance of prayer in the hour we live in cannot be overemphasized. The importance of prayer, corporate prayer, in the hour we live in, cannot be overemphasized. Y'all remember, some of you grew up in church. Wednesday night used to be called what? Prayer meeting. Why did they call it that? Well, I think they were supposed to pray. And, you know, and that was good. But we won't call Wednesday night prayer meeting because we teach and we do other things. But if you actually have a prayer meeting, what should you do? You should. It really would be good if you pray. And so, but in your life, though, if I can get individually, if I can get you to kind of re-up, if you will, look at your individual prayer life and begin to do this at home, begin to have faith to pray things out, then you get, you know, things like we do around here, you know, the on-the-wall prayer things we have quarterly, Sunday night prayer groups, Wednesday noon prayer, pre-service prayer, anything we get, you know, you can it'll begin to amplify and grow. Because if you can learn how to do this individually and you learn to do it as a group, it can really alter and affect things. So here we got Cornelius, this Italian guy, this military guy. He was known for what? He was known for much prayer and alms. And so the Lord picked him and his house to start the church that you and I are a part of, the Gentile church. Verse 2 of chapter 10 says he was a devout man, one that feared the Lord with his house, who gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Verse 4 says, then he looked, well, he saw a vision. Verse 4, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? You might be too. And he said unto him, your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial before God. And then at the same time, you got Peter waiting for lunch on the rooftop. And verse 9 says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up on the housetop to do what? There's something about prayer in the realm. If you can pray in the realm of the spirit, that gives God an avenue to do something very supernatural. There's something about, they weren't in the synagogue. They weren't at an evangelistic, they were in the place of prayer. They were in a prayerful place. Why do you think the devil works so hard to make you and I busy, to keep us out of prayer and make us uncomfortable? Come on, make you uncomfortable in corporate prayer, make you uncomfortable in your praying. You don't feel like you know what you're doing. You know, I know when I first came in circles like this, prayers seemed to be a special call. We used to call them intercessors. But see, only certain people were called to be an intercessor, and you weren't one of them. The devil would always convince you you're not one of them. And you didn't pray like everybody else, and you didn't seem to fit in. But I'm telling you, in the day and the hour we live in, I'm going to tell you one more time, it is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for you and I to learn how to pray things out, to learn how to cooperate with the Holy Ghost, let him intercede through us, to us, pray out mysteries, to know the future. Pastor Ron and I can get up here again and we can testify and testify of things recent and in the far past that if we had not known how to pray things out in the Holy Ghost, we would have been in trouble. And then there's all those things too that, you know, by you knowing how to pray out in the Holy Ghost and follow the Holy Ghost, there's blessings and there's just things the Lord is able to do for you, and he wants to do them. So here we got Cornelius and Peter praying. All right. And then I want you to look over here at verse 30 when Cornelius says it. He said, Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. So he was praying, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer is heard and your alms are in remembrance to the sight of God. So this big thing God did came from two men praying. And so if he can get you into a place of prayer, and you know what? It doesn't have to be hours long. Well, I don't have an hour to go into my prayer closet and pray. Well, it doesn't necessarily take an hour. It just takes you, one of the things I want you to get, and it's really not taught, it's caught, is the spirit of prayer. I want you to get, catch that. Catch it. A spirit of prayer. And I'm not saying this to be funny. It is true. Sometimes I'd rather pray than minister. Because you can get some places in God. You can know some things that's important. That's why Pastor Ron and I, we go away to pray. So I take my staff away to pray. It's important. Let's say if you work here, if I pay you, I'm going to make you pray. I don't play. You're gonna pray. Because there'll be times, I don't care if you're on the top of a roof, if you're Dion on the building, if you're JC doing something, or you're keeping books. When you work around me, you need to know how to pray. I'm going to teach you how to pray, because at any moment, there could be something going on around here, and I want everybody around me to be spiritual. I want them to be able to get in the spirit. So they all know that. Because we should be able to just jump. How many know you shouldn't have to take 3 or 4 hours to repent and get all right? And I'm not quite ready. That's not real life, is it? Nope. All right. I'm going to let you go just a second. Not everything. I want to go through the book of Acts to show you the importance of prayer. I believe every major move of God started in prayer. If you study out the book of Acts, the Lord challenged me this a long, long time ago. He said, because I was complaining about the church growth. And he said, go through the book of Acts and trace it backwards to how the church grew every time. And if you'll study it out, you can do this too. It starts in prayer. The power of God fell. The gifts of the Spirit began to operate. Miracles began to happen, and people came to the Lord. It's a pattern in the book of Acts. And I've just decided if the book of Acts worked in the beginning, it'll work in the end. Amen? And it'll work in my life. There's just such an importance of prayer. You can look, if you want to, write these down. Acts chapter 1, 14. They were all doing what right before the day of Pentecost? They're in unity and one accord, but they were all what? Praying. They were praying. 120 of them were praying. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1, Peter and John, remember the man at the gate called Beautiful? Peter and John were on their way to do what? They were on their way to prayer. Shoot, man, if you're going to pray, God wants to do something. Come on, he uses people on the way to prayer. Acts 6, 4. After the workload got to be heavy for the ministers, they said in Acts chapter 6, remember this was the appointment of the deacons. They said, we'll give ourselves to, you know, this prayer became for the before the ministry of the word. It's not an accident. We'll give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Because if you're going to really minister the word good, you need to be a person of prayer. If you're going to be powerful as you speak the word, you need to be a person of prayer. All right, Acts 12, 5. This is when, right after the beheading of John, Peter was also thrown in prison, and they got together as a group and did what? Prayed. And what happened to him? He was delivered. There are just some things. You know, don't be afraid. If you've got something going on, you know, well, I don't want anybody to know. I don't want them to use the wrong confession. Well, if I ever get in trouble, you all better get here and you better pray. I can see your confession doesn't mess my life up. My confession messes my life up. You don't have that much power over me. But if I can get a group of people to corporately pray, and people know what they're doing when they corporately pray, I'm telling you, it changes things. Come on. An angel went and got him. And Peter, I just love this account. I mean, Peter himself was walking through some walls. That's pretty cool. It came from them praying. Now, I don't know how great a faith they were in, because when he showed up at the door, they thought it was the angel, his angel. But, you know, it's like, hey, we prayed and he's here. You know, I don't know. But anyway, it's pretty cool. Acts 13. We call this Acts 13 meeting. The prophets, the teachers were together, and they prayed. And while they were praying, the Holy Ghost said something. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work I've called them to. So in the middle of a prayer meeting, the gifts of the Spirit can begin to work. In the middle of you praying, the gifts of the Spirit can begin to work. And you may not even stop and say, thus says the Lord about me. It just may come out, or you just may know what to do that you didn't know what to do. You may know the next step that you didn't know. It is so awesome to be able to pray. Acts chapter 16. Remember, they were on their way to pray, and they cast that demon out of that little fortune-telling girl. But they were on their way to pray. Something powerful happened. Now they ended up in prison, where they prayed again. And what happened? They were all not just them, but everybody's bands were loosed. Everybody say prayer. Prayer. I mean, it's powerful, right? Acts chapter 27. Now, this doesn't exactly say prayer, but this is Paul on the ship. Now, when the storms were raging, remember, he perceived something. They didn't listen. And now the storm is raging. And the Bible says after long abstinence. In other words, he went into the belly of the ship. And then suddenly the Lord appeared to him. I think you can conclude from that he wasn't just down there twiddling his thumbs. Because you have to be in the Spirit for the Spirit of God to show up. Have you ever noticed that? He rarely shows up while you're watching a football game. It's all right. You can watch football. Okay. Just not to make anybody religious. I'm going to tell something. Okay. So we were away up in Nashville. Pastor Ron and I went to a meeting. And we were in a hotel room. And we were at this meeting. And she was trying to sleep. But I was watching a movie. Now, it was just one of those movies. I call it a guy movie. She's not interested in. It was kind of like, you know, people were getting shot. The good guy was winning. They must be watched every once in a while. They do. And so after the last guy was killed, I turned it off. And right as I turned it off, the Spirit of God dropped on me. And not to rebuke me. I think he was just waiting until I got done with the movie. And so I'm not saying you have to be perfect, but I don't think it was that he didn't want to interrupt my movie, but he couldn't get in the middle of that. And I don't think it was necessarily sin, but he just didn't want to. But anyway, so he did come, and I did pray some things out. I mean, the Spirit of God fell on me, and I began to pray. Since I've all got you here and you now you laugh. I mean, God can use, if you learn to live in the Spirit, even when you're doing something natural, it's very easy to slide in to get in the Spirit. Just like the just shall live by faith. The Bible says, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of your flesh. Well, I can't walk in the Spirit 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can. You can. It's not a weird place. It's not a spooky place. It's not just praying in tongues 24 hours a day. How many of you can't? You can't do that. Where you work, you probably shouldn't. Don't do that. I mean, you can pray on the inside, but if you're there to work, you got to work. But he can help you with your work while you're attuned to the Spirit. When I was an accountant, I would get stuck. How many of you know anything about accounting? It has to balance. It has to. It's why they call it accounting. And sometimes it wouldn't balance. So you know what I'd do? I'd ask the Lord why it doesn't balance. And sometimes I work all day on it and go home, and then I'd get to praying. And then on the way back in the morning, I would know exactly what to do. And I looked like a hero because it was so hard to find. But God knew where it was. He knows everything. But you can't find out those everythings if you're not in the Spirit. Are you with me? And so I'm telling you all this because it's necessary. And God wants your faith to rise. And the more you look at this, the more you understand that praying is, I do want you to understand, when you need something from God, you find it in his word. And what sort of things you desire when you pray, you believe you receive them and you shall have them. And you don't have to keep asking and asking. If you keep asking and asking, you're not in faith and you won't be able to receive. So that's a one-time prayer. When you see something in the Word and you're claiming your healing, claiming something from the Word that's already been promised, this is the confidence I have in Him. I ask anything in the Lord as well. I know He hears me, and I know that I have it when I prayed. But then there's a kind of prayer that you're in the Spirit and you're praying in other tongues, and then you can begin to pray out things. You can even begin to prophesy things. And as you begin to do that, you might find yourself binding something, loosing something. It seems as though God can't do anything until somebody on the earth who is in covenant with him says something. And how can we know what he wants done? Yes, we have the written word of God, and we can never, ever go beyond the written word of God. And we need to stick with the word of God. And anything God tells you or reveals to you will always line up with the written word of God. You're not going to get any revelation that's not in this book. If you do, you're way too far out for me. There's nothing new. There's just things that need to be revealed and emphasized. The baptism of the Holy Ghost wasn't new in the 1900s. It was just lost. But God revealed it and brought it back. Prosperity was never lost. How to believe God was never lost, but the body of Christ lost it. And God revealed it. Brother Hagin didn't write Mark 11, 22, and 23, and 24. Jesus spoke it. And so with you, when you have things in your life, if something's hidden from you, you can know it. You can know it. If you're frustrated about something, don't just throw up your hands and say, well, forget it. No, I challenge you to get in the Spirit and talk to the Lord about it and pray. And I know what happens to me sometimes is as I'm praying, then Scripture begins to rise. You know, most of you in this room, you've forgotten more than a lot of people have learned. But it's in you. It's in you. Open your mouth and he'll fill it. It's in you. It's in you. It's in you. And have confidence that anything you need to know, you can begin to, as you get in the Spirit, and then you, the Spirit of God begins to intercede. And you'll begin to pray things out. And you begin to know things. Now, I'm going to give you some clues in this. And I tell my wife, and she can tell you, I tell her this all the time. When you start doing this, and I've been doing this for going on 28, 29 years, I've been praying this way. But even today, while my little scribe over here, she writes things out. If I pray something out, I tell her, I want to pray that out 3-4 times before we move on it. Because I'm a human being, and you can get your tongue hooked up, or, you know, you got to keep it hooked up to your heart, but you can kind of get off. So you'll find when it's the Holy Ghost, you'll pray it over and over again, or it'll keep coming up, and it'll keep coming up. And when something keeps coming up and you don't know what to do with it, you just ask the Lord, what do I do with that? People who, you know, I know on Wednesdays at noon, people who pray with me, I think sometimes they think I'm trying to be comical. But I just talk back to when he says something comes up, I'm like, well, that don't make any sense. So you talk that way to the Lord? Well, yeah, I did, because it doesn't make any sense. And so yet, you know, so I'll get back in there and it'll come back up again. And I don't understand. And I'll tell him sometimes, I don't understand. Because sometimes things of the Spirit, it's hard to wrap your natural words in your understanding. But you keep working on it, and you keep working on it, and you keep working on it. And then he'll show you some things in the Scripture. And you'll just be reading, doing your daily bread. And you'll, it's on an app. And you'll be looking at it, and the Spirit, and there'll be something in that word. And then the Holy Ghost will take that, and there'll be something in that, a word, that'll be revelation. And you'll fit it to what you prayed out, and you'll know what to do. And your child who you wanted to get in a headlock, you won't want to anymore, because you'll know how to talk to him. You'll know what to say to him. You'll know why you're frustrated with your career. You'll know things like that. You'll know something, how to talk different to your spouse. Because we all know we're so hard to understand sometimes. How many know you can't understand somebody, you can't help somebody when they don't even know what they need? Sweetheart, what do you need? I don't know. Well, how can I help that? The Lord knows. He does. He knows you. Even if you can't explain you, he can. Even if you can't figure you out, he's already figured you out. And he knows how to help you. This is funny. I'll let you go. I mean, in a time of prayer one time, just praying, mind my own business. My wife is not very consumeristic, if you didn't know that about her. She just doesn't need stuff. Her love language is not diamond rings. Praise the Lord. And so, but on the other hand, her love language is words of affirmation. Help me, Jesus. You'd think I'd be really good at that as a preacher, but not always. But even in that, in gift giving, how many know at Christmas time you're supposed to give gifts? And so, what do you want for Christmas? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, and so I said, Lord, that's what she wants. She really does want peace on earth. And I can't buy that. And so, just a couple times. One time the Lord, early in our marriage, I couldn't even afford it. Couldn't buy it. He said, get her a ring wrap for her engagement ring to go with her wedding ring. It's like, oh, that's nice. Yay. Praise Jesus. Did you look at my bank account before you told me that? Now, I wouldn't tell you to do this because you got to really know. But the Lord said, yeah, go get it. She told me where to go get it. I went and got it, put it on my credit card. It took all that I had. And back then, I think I had a $500 limit. And so, or something like that. Or that's all I had left or whatever. I think it was all I had left on the credit card. But then the next day, I came to church. And this man, this friend, this guy that was part of our church, his name was Otis. Ah, Lord, wherever Otis is, bless him. He came out to me. He said, Pastor, the Lord loves you. I'm like, yeah, I know he does. It's like, no, he really loves you. I'm like, I know he does. And then he's like, here. Like he didn't want to do it. And I looked at it, and it was the exact amount. But that didn't come. That wasn't just a leading. I was praying. One other time, the Lord told me what to get her. And then she opened it. She's like, oh, I didn't know I wanted that, but I really wanted that. So simple parts of life up to praying in the Holy Ghost in the Smoky Mountains, minding my own business. Praying with the staff was very small. Praying, and then suddenly we're praying about the church, and then suddenly, see, you can get in there and help the Lord. Suddenly, I find myself praying about Ariel Sharon and Benjamin Netanyahu. Does anyone know who those people are? Well, I wasn't calling them by their last names. It was like we were buddies. And I said, Ariel, who has bewitched you to cause you to do that which is not pleasing in the sight of God? And then I said, Ariel down, Benjamin up. Now, y'all know I'm not from Israel. And just to be blunt, you know, if I'm going to pray for somebody, we always got a mess going up in D.C. Always. So one would think, and then 2 weeks later, Ariel Sharon dropped into a coma, was in coma for years. Everybody forgot about him, but in a basement somewhere in Israel. It was somewhere he was hooked up to some stuff, not like a house basement. I mean, it was the former prime minister, but Benjamin Netanyahu. And now listen to me, until God says Benjamin down, he's up. And I don't really have any stake in it. When my wife and I first got married, I'm trying to tell you something. I'm sharing experiences, but I taught you all doctrine. That's right. Do the doctrine, but I just want to share. And it's not because Pastor Mark is a pastor, prophet, whatever. But you can be used. I used to, I don't do it as much. The Lord's been dealing with me probably as about this. It's always excited me about it. I used to go to sleep a lot praying in other tongues. And then I'd wake up praying in other tongues. But when we first got married, or I don't remember how long ago it was, I fell asleep that way. But suddenly, I sat up in bed, and I began to scream about the Pope. And Pastor Rhonda tells me I was ordering people around, telling them where to go, what to do, how to protect him. There's a plot. 2 weeks later, they uncovered a plot. This was a couple popes ago. I'm telling you, God can use you in that way. But he can also simply tell you, while you're praying things out, you need to change jobs. You need to talk to your child this way, not the other way. He can do it. Amen? Amen. I'm just trying to stir you up. And you look stirred.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWallMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.